Liverpool back to winning ways. A big moment for a big player, Alexander Isak. First Premier League goal for Liverpool. Brilliantly set up by Cody Gakpo. Florian Wirtz, recalled after injury, was excellent today for Liverpool. He played a part in that goal. Gakpo got the assist. Cody Gakpo got the second goal. Joe Gomez was outstanding. In at right back, he gave the defence a lot more stability back there. The team balance of the team looked better with Joe Gomez. We know what Joe can do when he's injury free. He's still a big player for this team, in my opinion. He produced a great cross. Gakpo chesting down, blasting home. West Ham and Lucas Paqueta sent off for a moment of madness, really. But Liverpool controlled this game. We've kept the clean sheet. Isak off the mark in the Premier League. West Ham 0, Liverpool 2.
What a big result that was for the Reds. Alexander Isak's first Premier League goal for Liverpool was such a decisive moment in the game, as was Cody Gakpo blasting in the second in injury time, much to the relief of the travelling Liverpool supporters. I'm Becky Davis. You're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this episode, we'll get the thoughts of Arne Slot and Joe Gomez too. First, though, to our pundits, former Reds Sammy Lee and Neil Mellor, who joined me to discuss the match in the studio. Sammy, I think that was absolutely everything we needed today. Not just the 3 points, but massive goal for Alexander Isak.
Fantastic. And
performance-wise as well.
And great balance.
Calmer, more cohesive.
Yes, great balance throughout the team, Beck, I think, to be honest, yeah. And for whatever reason, you can read into that, whatever. You know, but I think Gomez being right back, a natural right back, you know, a natural defender, I thought it was excellent. I thought Wirtz was superb. Throughout the game, I thought he was superb. And as you so rightly say, Isak getting his first goal for Liverpool Football Club. I'm thrilled for the guy, thrilled for the team, thrilled for the supporters.
I think it just lifts the mood, doesn't
it? Without a doubt.
It's just been a case of we're going down to West Ham thinking, where's the next point coming from? And that's how it's felt at this moment in time. And it doesn't happen often, but it felt like that going into the game. But just, I'm sat here now, I'm happy. I felt like it's been a while since we've been happy. You know, the Real Madrid game, probably the last moment we've had that. It was a comfortable away win, but at 1-0 it's not comfortable.
No,
at 1-0 you're thinking surely they're not going to nick an equaliser. Bowen goes close and you're thinking that might be the last effort they had, and just to seal it with Gakpo there. But it was a real good team performance. You mentioned about the balance defensively. I think Gomez helped in terms of helped Konate, helped the defensive unit. We have to say as well, West Ham aren't a great side.
No, but you know what you got done here, and as you say, because it was still 1-0 and we tempted fate a little bit by being too close in our passing. The referee couldn't wait to give him free kicks.
Yeah.
You know, and free kicks in dangerous areas, and you know yourself, we're a little bit suspect at them kind of things. They're quite strong at them. So I just thought, overall, to be able to come out there with the win was magnificent.
And also, clean sheet, you always say about the clean sheet.
I was waiting for that.
But how many times did you think, oh, that was a let-off? I didn't feel that too often. As West Ham got in good areas, they put crosses in, set pieces coming in. I thought we defended our penalty area really well. I don't think Alisson had a save to make. I don't think he had a save to make this afternoon. So you're going to West Ham, they've won a couple of games at home. They were poor, and we made them look poor. So we were better.
And do you know what we did as well, because we spoke about it, for the best part of the game, we kept the crowd out of it.
Yeah.
Only just, in fact, we scored the goal in their best period, I think. When we allowed the crowd to get into it, through our little, you know, sloppiness a bit at times. But then again, once we kept the crowd quiet, then for me, the game was done. Fantastic.
We spoke about how important that the first goal was, and I think it came at a really important time as well, because it was just when West Ham were starting to get a little bit of a foothold in the game on the hour mark, Neil.
Yeah, and also it was important because you thought, have we missed the opportunity first half? Because first half we created some good moments, some good chances. We didn't take them, and you were thinking, will we get more opportunities second half to get that first goal? And we hadn't started the last few games second half particularly well. I think of Forest, I think of PSV, start the second half where we conceded goals. And so that psychologically was a big thing. And West Ham were on top, looking to get the opening goal. The fans got up. You mentioned the fans there. They were getting up thinking maybe they could get something from that first goal. And then that man there in the screen there, Isak, he was brought in to score big goals. He's had a tough time, because he hasn't had the game time he wants. For whatever reason, he's not felt the player he was. 8 months ago, he was being spoken about as one of the best strikers in world football. He was alongside Haaland in that conversation.
Yeah.
And he's had a tough time in terms of settling in at Liverpool, showing the quality, getting the goals he wants. And that felt like a big moment. So we're talking about the 3 points, we're talking about the clean sheet, but that was a massive moment to see that lad get his first Premier League goal for Liverpool.
Yeah, he's waited a long time for that moment in the Premier League, at least with Liverpool, Sammy, but picked an excellent game to get off the mark in the league for the Reds. But a very well-taken goal as well, at a finish. I think when you watch it back, which I'm sure we'll see many times over the course of the next few days, it looks like it's probably a lot harder than he makes it look, if that makes sense.
Well, exactly, and you'll know better than I. It was a classic striker's finish, you know, just passed the ball into the net. Great little touch by Vierge, giving a great ball to Gakpo, stayed on side, great. And Andy Robbo had a big part to play in it, you know. And do you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to upset a lot of people here, particularly on the sports science. You know, I know why they took him off at 17. I understand why, because, but I'm thinking, you know, when you scored your first goal, I'm thinking, you know, you want a little bit more. But yeah, you know, I mean, I know the sports science are all hammering me for that. I know there's a game at Wednesday, but I'm thinking, you know, seriously, the guy's just scored his first goal. Give him a bit more, you know. But listen, that's just me being me. But I was just thrilled. And as you say, well taken goal. Passed it, made it look easy, as you said, just passed it. And when you see the ball from behind, it just went inside the post, which is fantastic striker's finish, mate.
I think it was an instinctive finish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you're thinking he needs something like that. The one in the first half where he puts over, you're thinking, looked a bit short of confidence. The keeper makes a good save from him. And then he has that moment. And you mentioned about Wirtz in the build-up. I thought that was key because it was a long throw-in. And rather than recycling the ball and just launching it back in the box, he stays calm.
Yeah, very cute pass.
And whilst he doesn't get an assist, he still plays a big part in it by playing the ball to Gakpo, who then finds Isak, who slots it lovely.
Yeah, we'll speak about Wirtz in a moment because I think that was one of, if not the best game he's had so far in a Liverpool shirt. But just, Mels, in terms of strikers, you know, you live and die by the goals that you score. What kind of a difference will that make to him?
Huge. Any striker, you want to score goals. And that's what you're ultimately judged on. And he's going out there on the pitch. He's always scored goals. And there's that element of doubt thinking, when's this goal coming? And all of a sudden, maybe that decision making, maybe that little bit of indecision, should I shoot, should I pass it? You start doing things slightly differently. But now that goal is just a massive weight off his shoulders.
Massive difference for the whole football club.
Yeah.
Because I've got to be honest, you turned it today, you know. Because obviously when things haven't been going well, everyone, the question being asked everywhere. So when he gets that goal and the manner of his goal, it lifts the whole football club and our fan base.
I think a big thing as well is, it was a big headline before the game, Mo Salah on the bench. Who's going to step up when it's not Salah? We've relied on Salah for years. And this is sort of a bit of a dress rehearsal for when the AFCON comes around.
Yeah.
Who's going to step up? Because not many people have. And you can look back over the years, it's been Salah, all the pressure on Salah, expectation on Salah. He's sat on the bench having a little bit of a breather today. Isak turns up and then Gakpo gets another one.
And you know what else? You'll know as well as anybody, Neil. You know, every player, whether they'll admit to it or not, they need competition.
Yeah.
They need competition. They need pushing. They won't all admit to it. They'll have the cobs on and what have you. They'll be sullen. But every player needs competition to keep you on the edge. And I think what has happened today, is, as I say, there's been a couple of changes, big calls, and we've got the results. So now it's kick on, as we said. Let's move on.
It helps with Ekitike as well.
Yeah,
because he comes on thinking, he scored.
Yeah.
Do we play together? Is it him? Is it not me? With all the games coming up, I think it can only help that little bit of fire in the belly. Well, I want to score. I want to be the main
competition.
Man.
Competition.
Yeah, that confidence as well. It's almost the more confidence you have, the more opportunities you take. You might take a few little risks that when you're overthinking things, as you said before, you don't want to take those gambles, and often those gambles pay off.
Well, doubt. Yeah. So mentally, Isak knows he's one of the top strikers in the world, but when you're not scoring, you start thinking, why am I not scoring? Am I doing something wrong? Maybe the movement, maybe you start going into wider areas rather than getting in sort of in between the sticks. And one's got in for him today. So that turns. So the next game, Sunderland, you're thinking?
Yeah, well, that's exactly a difficult game. And as you mentioned before, you know, it's amazing what confidence can do for you. It really is, and it's something that you can't instill to play into players. It has to happen, you know, and you get confidence, particularly strikers, from goals like that. And confidence is a we mentioned luck before the game, which has a big part to play in, but confidence, Beck, if you could bottle confidence, we'd all be billionaires, you know.
And it quietens the noise down, because the noise, that these players aren't immune to this. They're aware of it.
Well,
they're
not, but that's the thing, isn't it? Because they're put on pedestals as footballers
at social
the end
media.
Of the day. Yeah, but they are human beings. Yes. And people kind of forget that they have the same sort of feelings as everybody else sometimes. And confidence can affect you whatever level
The narrative changes. Rather than, when's Isak going to get his first goal? He's up and running. he scored a big goal, an important goal. And all of a sudden it's a case of, that's the Isak everybody knew, that's the Isak Liverpool bought, rather than, when's the goal coming? Is he injured? Is he carried? Is he fit? Now the narrative changes, and it changes everything.
And that's why I said lift the whole club, you know, even you know, the recruitment departments, you know, because people are saying, have we done the right? But everyone identified what a good player he was. But obviously when things don't go for him, then the questions are asked and the doubt creeps in. Today, hopefully it's the start of something big for him and the football club, with him getting that goal, typical striker's goal, which I thought was wonderful.
Yeah, and Cody Gakpo's got to be a big part of this conversation as well, because it was some finish really for him as well, and he got an assist as well today, Mels, too.
I'm a Cody man, I must admit. I like him.
We're all Cody people, it's fine.
No, but the point being, football is like that. It's about opinion. Some people will like him. He frustrates some fans, I get that. He frustrates them, but he's ended up getting a goal and an assist today. And it's that decision making, certainly for the assist, to see Isak rather than panicking and shooting himself in that position. I thought today one of his big contributions was helping Kirkers out.
Against the ball,
defensively. So we know Bowen, Wan-Bissaka, the threat, they didn't really cause us too many problems. I thought Kirkers handled Bowen, but he got back an awful lot defensively to help out. But you need goals, you need assists, you need numbers, because that's what the attacking players thrive on, the GAs as they call them these days. And he's got two there, so he'll be delighted.
But you know yourself, the moment we lose the ball, we're all defenders. And I think sometimes that hasn't been the case. And I think, look at today, he's been a massive pop against the ball and with the ball. It's a huge, huge confidence booster for everybody at the football club.
It's interesting that the relationship with himself and Kirkez as well, because it's not something that's always been there in recent months, is it? And obviously that building is a very important side of things on that left.
Yeah, developing. I think a few people might have been surprised Kirkez got the nod, because Robbo was great with the games he came in. He's been on the bench the last couple. I thought he might have got the nod, but the manager stuck with Kirkez, and Kirkez repaid that faith today, because I thought he had a really good game. But that understanding is still developing. Gakpo is the sort of player who likes to cut inside and sort of either dink it to the far post or go for goal himself. Kirkez likes to get forward, and sort of developing that understanding, I think it's still sort of working itself out.
And I was one of them, Neil, before the game, as you know, Bex, but I have to say to you, initially I want my defenders to defend, and I think he defended quite well today. Yes. Very well, in fairness. You know, because I know Wan-Bissaka originally was a winger, you know, so as a fullback coming forward, he's always going to be a threat. You know, we know about Bowen, and I thought he handled it very, very well. And as you say, Gakpo helped him in that, as did all the midfielders as well, shuttling across to make a 2v1.
I want to mention this picture as well, actually, because this is him just after he scored, and he's pulling the badge, Sammy, and there's almost an anger, a frustration in there, and it shows that, as we said, these players are human. They will have heard all the noise. They will have felt all the pain that everyone's felt over the past few weeks.
Exactly, as we all have, you know. But the thing, what is that? And I said, even you know, when we were talking before the game, and in a couple of meetings that we've had in the Q&As, is that we all know full well them lads will be hurting, the staff will be hurting. They don't want us to be in this position, and we all know full well the work that's going behind the scenes to correct the issues that have been problematic to us. And I just think that you see there when the joy and the passion, you know, the badge, and for me, it's a huge, huge victory. Coming away, we haven't done really well down in London for recent months. So to come away and get the results, I think it's huge.
I think it shows he cares, doesn't it?
I don't think you need to kiss the badge for that, Neil. I think his overall performance showed that, you know, the way his effort.
Is he doing that because of the frustration of the results? In fairness, the results haven't been good enough for Liverpool.
I mean,
we're not expected to be in the position we are in. We find ourselves in there, and it's a case of, rather than hiding themselves away, it's like, we're going to have to face this. And it's like, this is what it means. And it's nice to get the 3 points. And it's West Ham. They're a team that will struggle this season. They will be in the bottom half this season. They won't win too many games. But that still felt like a big moment for us this season.
And forgive me, Bex, you asked before the game, you know, what would be a good result, didn't you? You know, and the way things have been going. And I said, the standards, the expectation of before is to win. Now, okay, against all the odds, you know what I mean? We had a bad run, but they've gone there. And as you so rightly said, the frustration, the anger, the passion all came out in that win today. And fantastic for the guys.
It is indeed. We've got the stats actually from the game, and these make Mel's a lot better reading than we've seen in recent weeks. We haven't mentioned the sending off actually, which was
I'm amazed at them stats, can I just say. 9 shots for us and 7 for them. That makes it sound like that. I felt like it was a much more dominant performance than that.
Even
I
mean, the possession?
Yeah, I mean the possession. XG, you can see there that Liverpool deserved more than the one goal they scored, just the five shots on top. It felt like we had some big chances. There you go. Three big chances in the game. Mm. So at least we're taking at least over half. That we haven't been. That's been a big factor in recent games, Becky and Sammy. You know the importance of taking the big chances when they come along. We haven't been.
Yeah.
And we didn't first half. But then we did second half, and look at the difference it has on the score.
We said we get the highest shot rate in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And then you look at that there today. So it's about conversion.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic.
Sending off. We haven't spoken about. I mean, it's a show of petulance, shall we say?
Listen, I don't want to talk about West Ham because that's not what we have. But I thought his behaviour was disgraceful. And it was disgraceful. I thought, you know, for me, he talked himself off the pitch. And, you know, we know. I thought it was a disgrace. And he wouldn't stop. He went to the line. And people are going over trying to appease him. Our players are trying to appease him. I'd stay away from him.
It was noticeable. Alisson, obviously,
well, Brazilian
teammate, runs half the length of the pitch to try and calm him down. But he was having none of it.
I think it's quite hard to understand because there wasn't a big injustice for a big decision where maybe he could have had a goal, a penalty, a free kick. Free kick near the halfway line. Why is he getting so upset about something like that? I know they're losing, but there was still time to create something. I thought it was really strange, I have to say. I thought it was, you were saying disgraceful, I think it's unprofessional.
Well, you used the word petulance.
Yeah.
I think it was.
I thought it was disgraceful. Petulance, as you say, for what? You know, you'd be better showing your anger and frustration in the next challenge, win the next challenge, rather than do something like that, talk yourself off the pitch.
And to be fair to the ref, and I thought he gave a few sort of soft decisions.
You got that right.
I thought he handled that one really well.
Yeah.
Because he's in his face for ages. Like,
yes.
I've given you a warning.
Lack of respect.
I thought he did well there.
Showed a lack of respect to the officials.
Yeah. And of course, at that point, it's still 1-0, so West Ham still in the game and puts his team under so much pressure.
And up against the Liverpool side, you go a man down. You know, if I was Nuno, I'd be having some big words with him in the dressing room now.
He misses other games. West Ham are in a fight to stay in the league.
Every
and he's
game.
A big player for them.
Yeah.
He's let his team down there.
Well, we're hoping to get some reaction from within the Liverpool dressing room. But before we do, I mean, what will that dressing room feel like tonight, Sammy? Because there's a long way to go still to kind of pull ourselves to the point where we feel we're fully back on track. But it's about baby steps, we said, in pre-match, and today's the first one.
And you know them. They won't be over-celebrations. You know that. Listen, it's normally a game that we can win, but considering the run we've been on, you know, the pressure is on, and the lads, you say, well, listen, now, let's take stock of things now. You know, fantastic, we got that win today. And we keep on saying, we said before the game, enjoy that for today, but we think about Sunderland on Wednesday now, because I think they mentioned before on camera, false dawns before. We don't want this to be a false dawn. We've got a good chance now to kick on Wednesday at home, and I appeal to the fans again, as always, get behind me, because we're going to need this, because that's not going to be easy on Wednesday. But enjoy today, but they'll be relieved as well. Now it shows exactly the hard work that's gone in. This is the result of it. Now let's get ready for Sunderland.
But that's one of the best feelings, isn't it? After a game when you've won, and you can look at your teammate and go, we've won that.
Yeah.
And that buzz, that happiness, and it'd be a great place to be. The music will be rocking, but they just look across and they don't even have to say anything, just smile at each other and go, we've got the 3 points.
Yeah.
But there's another game around the corner.
Wednesday,
very quickly.
Right, you mentioned Ray there. Let's head back down to the London Stadium because Ray Houghton is alongside Mark Benstead. Lads.
Thank you, Becky. Well, anyone who's been to the London Stadium will know that the media seats are way up in the gods, so it's quite a trek down to the interview area. But we came down with more of a spring in our step today, right, given the way recent results have gone. A much better overall performance overall from Liverpool. What really stood out for you from the way you went about things?
Well, I thought there was a confidence about the team today. I thought we defended extremely well. We looked very solid in the back four. The goalkeeper hardly had a safety make all game. I thought we moved the ball in midfield very well, created the chances what we wanted to. I thought Gravenberch was excellent, really did. I thought he drove from midfield really, really well. And Florian had his best game for me. I thought the time he was on, 75 minutes, I thought he picked up some really good positions, but then he's vision awareness, his way to pass was very, very good, and the only thing he didn't do was score. He had that one opportunity, but he probably felt he could have done a little bit better with, but overall, I thought it was a solid performance, a much needed one, and obviously coming away with a clean sheet is extremely important as well.
Did we see Liverpool be a little bit more pragmatic today, a bit more measured, less expansive at times?
At times, when they did what they had to do, I thought they moved the ball well. You know, Joe Gomez got forward when he needed to. Kirkish in the first half, not so much in the second. But I thought overall they got the balance right, the balance between defending and attacking. You can't always attack. You know, there's occasions when you have to defend. You defend in numbers, but you get a good solid block, good shape to the way that you want to defend. And I thought they'd done that really well. Organisation was good. Delighted for Konaté. I thought he had an excellent game as well. I thought everything that he had to do, he'd done well. You could see that even the little situations when he was on short, he put out for a throw and got back into his natural position. And that's what sometimes you have to do. Can't always play yourself out of a tight situation. Sometimes you just got to put out a play, get that solid back four into the shape again, and then you work from there. So all round, excellent. You know, it was after the three performances we've had the three losses, clean sheet, couple of goals, and I thought they thoroughly deserved it. I don't think at any stage West Ham looked threatening.
With all the way that the business was done in the summer, a lot of focus on Florian Wirtz, a lot of focus on Alexander Isak. Not everything came off at Isak today, but he got his goal. Do you think that can be a springboard? Have you seen other strikers that you've played with have that moment where they get that first goal and then the floodgates can open?
Yeah, look, listen, he was in the right position at the right time. I thought it was an excellent finish, and it was a well-worked goal as well. Got it down the left hand. I was slightly concerned it was offside or not. You get that dubious moment, don't you? But certainly Cody Gakpo was onside, and then the pullback. But the way they moved his body and then got over the top of the ball, because what you do, when you get your body weight over the top of the ball, you can keep it down. But if you look at it, it was so precise and had to be, because the goalkeeper, it was at his near post, got his hand down towards the post, but such was the power on it and the direction, it was absolute precision. And what a time to score it as well.
Just finally, it's been a spell where there's been so much talk around Liverpool, so much speculation, sort of debate about the team. It's easy for panic to creep in. What really stood out today, I felt, was composure at times, and that's something to maintain moving forward. If you have that composure in a game, it gives you a better opportunity to replicate what's happened today.
But Mark, what you've got to remember, these are very, very good players. You know, a lot of these lads won the league last season. They know what this period's all about when you've got game after game after game, and you have to be prepared for that. They've had a bit of flack, had a bit of stick, but sometimes that makes you as a player. You know, it's not always going to be congratulations and well done week in, week out. There are going to be occasions in your career when it's going to go against you, and what you're looking for is for people to stand up and say, I'm here. You know, Virgil's been saying it in the press over the last few days. Talking is one thing, producing it on the pitch is another, and I thought the boys produced it today.
Certainly did, right. We will pause things for a second. We're going to hang around here, get some reaction, hopefully from the dressing room over a little while. We'll bring you that through the course of the show.
Thank you to Mark and to Ray. Fingers crossed, back with them very soon down at the London Stadium. Good question for both of you, actually. What Mark just asked Ray there, what pleased you most? You're not allowed to say clean sheet, because that's what
I know.
You can say clean sheet if you want.
No, I won't. I'd have to say to you, but I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go two. I thought Isak's goal, because it's lifted the whole club. But also, I was really pleased with the balance of the team. Mm-hmm. The structure of the team, I thought it looked right, it behaved right, it played right, it finished right. So I think the balance of the team was excellent, but Isak's goal.
And clean sheets. Mel's.
I was going to say Isak's goal. I think to score the first goal in the game, I think it's been spoken about a lot recently. We haven't been scoring the first goal. And to get it, it felt like it was going to be really important today. I was made up, I was thinking, please get the first goal, because you can see the difference in the shift in mentality, the confidence. And we did. We had to wait till the second half to get it. So that was a big, big moment for me that we got the first goal.
Well, Alexander Isak will rightly get a lot of the headlines, but a big mention has to go to Florian Wirtz, who had a very, very big influence on the game, Sammy.
Terrific. From minute one, I thought he was excellent. Dare I say it, he reminded me of Firmino. He was like the glue, you know, being between the midfield and the attackers. I thought he got himself in some fantastic little spaces in between the lines. Very difficult for the opposition to pick him up. His little touches around the corner, his little one-twos, give and goes. Very, very cute, very clever passing. And I thought his influence in the amount of minutes that he was on was excellent. I thought he was fantastic. And that's, I think, again, when I talk about recruitment, that for me is not a big moment, because you see the player. You see, and we can all see the touches in, but when you see it come into that and have such an effect on a Premier League game, I thought it was fantastic.
For everyone who watches the review show, they will be in no doubt how you feel about Florian Wirtz, because you're a huge fan. But what did you make of him today, Miles?
I think that's his position, I'll be honest. I think he's a 10. I think he can play left, I think he can play off the right. but he's a 10. You mentioned Bobby Firmino in those sort of pockets of space. How many times in the game, and West Ham are a team who've been working all week in being solid, stopping the space, he finds space. Yeah. That's what Wirtz is. He can be central, he can be left, he can be right. Now, the manager's got a problem because Szoboszlai's been brilliant this season, playing higher up. Wirtz as a 10 is a world-class player. So how do you fit him, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch? I don't know. But today, he was brilliant as a 10.
Yeah, and as Neil says, Dominic Szoboszlai has probably been the player of the season so far, Simon. Yeah. So it's a good headache to have, I suppose, yes. But it's a headache nonetheless.
Yeah, that's why the coaches, you know, that's the skill in the coach, how he selects his team selection. What I will say to you is that what pleased me more than it was the balance. So for me, why upset the balance? Why upset the balance? We asked beforehand, maybe just talk about him maybe Wirtz playing on the right or whatever, and I said, oh, for me, he could be in that number 10 role. As you so rightly said, for me, he's most effective in that role. Because I repeat, as a defensive line, which is, you know, the well-organised Nuno's team, but they couldn't pick him up today, they couldn't find him, and he was always in between the lines, little cute passes, little ones round the corner, little 1-2s. I thought he was excellent.
He was brilliant, but people will always say, where's his goals and assists? That's sort of the era we're in, aren't we, with all the stats and everything like that.
That's why, we're throwing stats out the window now, we've decided. We're throwing them out the window because...
He should have scored first half.
They could be skewed to whatever...
That was an opportunity, wasn't it, for him in the first half. But, I mean, possibly his best game in a Liverpool shirt. So he looked like he enjoyed it as well, didn't he, which is so important. Joe Gomez as well, first start in an awful long time in the Premier League, Mels, and didn't put a foot wrong all game, really.
Well, we've mentioned the word a few times and you've mentioned it, balance of the team. I also felt as though we looked more secure defensively in terms of we've had Curtis Jones there, we've had Szoboszlai, and that's not their natural position. So at times, the awareness to sense danger and where to be defensively, and I thought it helped Konaté. Ray mentioned it there. Konaté had a really good game.
So.
But Konaté's had so many right backs to play with. He's played with Frimpong, he's played with Szoboszlai, he's played with Curtis Jones, he's had Conor Bradley there, Joe Gomez. He's had so many different players there. Yep. And Joe is sort of a real natural. He can play centre half, you see, as well. I think the big thing for me is the worry was he hasn't trained at times recently, and you're thinking, how fit is he? I thought he looked great.
Well, there was talk beforehand, I think Razor mentioned, because he's been on the bench. Why has he been coming? And someone mentioned he's been having injections in his knee. Well, I don't know how to.
The worry is, can he go again Wednesday?
Well, I was just about to say, my big concern now is resilience. Is he going to be ready to play against a strong Sunderland side on Wednesday? I hope he is. I sincerely hope he is because. Balance.
Mm-hmm. It just brings that absolute calmness and assurance, though, which in a game like this, experience was so important, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. And in a period like this, when we're all saying beforehand how difficult period, and when you put square pegs in round doors, that creates doubts all over the park, you know, and in people's heads. When you have the players in their best positions, you've got the best chance of them performing to their best. And also, as I say, as a team, you look more. I think Razor mentioned again, look more solid, more compact, more balanced.
And he's got a long throw. He's got the first goal.
Yeah,
long throw.
Yeah.
So there's a little bonus as well.
I mean,
and he got an assist as well.
Can we use the long throw?
Yeah.
You touched on Ibu Konaté as well, who is not on his own and having had a difficult few weeks, Mels, but much improved this
afternoon. He deserves credit because there was a lot of stick flying about after the other night against PSV. And as a player, it's one of those where you're thinking, I'm not at the same level. And confidence can be a little bit affected. The manager's been brave to play him again because a few people thinking maybe he might sit out. He was the Konaté that we know. Balls into the box, which is a big threat that West Ham have. He dealt with alongside Virgil van Dijk. But Gomez next to him, I think just give him that little bit of confidence knowing I'm a little bit more secure. And I don't remember West Ham getting down that left-hand side too often. No. I know they didn't have a natural left-hand player, but Diouf is a player who's done well for them out there at times this season. So, pleased Konaté played his part in a clean sheet for Liverpool today.
The Liverpool FC Black Friday sale is on now.
Save 20% on everything, including the 25-26 season Adidas kit and training, Adidas collections, exclusive LFC label fashion and more. Plus, all Red members save an additional 10%. Don't miss out. The Liverpool FC Black Friday sale, it's on now and it's only available online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app. Ends 8 a.m. 4th of December.
Let's hear from the boss now. Arne Slot has been speaking to the media in his post-match press conference.
I mean, what did you make of the response of your team overall to the last couple of games?
In terms of results, is of course very good, but there were also a few things similar than other games of ours and a few things that were different. So the things that were similar were that, again, we couldn't score our first chances. The good thing was that today, for the first time in many, many, many games, the first chance of the opponent didn't go in as well. The best thing was that it was their only chance, and that was after 90 minutes. And it's happened so many times to us that the first chance the other team gets goes in, and then you get a completely different game, as we saw so many times now. Not conceding a set piece. Actually, maybe scoring from one, but because it came from a long throw, it took a while. But these are things that are so important if you want to win a game of football. And yes, people will probably say you had more control, or you didn't concede as much. Yeah, but it's quite a difference if you go 1-0 down after 5 minutes and you have to chase the game. Or you're 0-0, you're controlling the game, and after 1-0 you can control it even more.
Even at 0-0 today, the supporters were singing your name,
yeah,
and they were throughout the game. I mean, how much does that mean to you to have that unwavering support from them, even in spite of the last few weeks?
Yeah, a lot. It says a lot about the club and about the fans. That they were not only supportive for me, but for our whole team. I think if you have such a run of form we are having, and you have an away game, and the away end is so full and supports the team from start to finish, including me indeed, that's special. Not only after the 1-0, already a 0-0 from, like I said, from start to finish. So it tells you that this club is always together, but maybe even more in difficult moments. And then they appreciate probably even more what you've done for the club and support you then. And I think that's what makes a club special as well. To support someone when he's successful is much easier than to support someone or a team or an individual when things are as tough as they are now.
Never mind the second goal. How did you feel when the first goal went in? Because it's been a while coming, hasn't it?
For us to score a goal is not a while coming, but for us to go 1-0 up has been indeed.
I'm talking about the scorer.
Oh, yeah, that's also true, yeah. Yeah, but that is also a bit unfair to him, because normally as a number nine, I think in general number nine plays more minutes than I've played Alex till now, because of the obvious reasons. So even today I had to take him off after 65, I think. So yes, he's played already quite a lot of games, but in terms of minutes, not so much. And it's very important for us as a team that we went 1-0 up, but I think it was also important for him, because I think it was his third chance, maybe third, fourth of this game. And I don't think there was much more than 10 minutes in him to go. So then to score just before you come off was important for us, but also for him.
Can I ask you what you've made of Florian Wirtz's performance today?
Good. As the team played a very good game. So recently I've been asked a lot about individuals when they've played maybe not a game of their usual standards, and I've pointed out to the team every single time. So now after a positive, very positive performance from Florian, I can acknowledge that, but I also want to emphasize on the team performance that was much better than some of them.
Did you ask him to do anything? What did you ask him to do today?
Like I've asked to all of them, play to your own standards. But I think we tried to create an extra midfielder, and he was very important for us to find every time, that extra midfielder. He was good in when he made the dribble. He was really good in his one-touch balls. I even remember a moment where he played the balls diagonally into the 18-yard box to Cody Kakpo, which then doesn't lead to a shot, so no XG value. But we had many of those moments, and he was part of many of those moments, I think. So good game. Performance staff was constantly telling me, he needs to go out, he needs to go out. Because he's been out for 1.5, 2 weeks, and he only trained once. So to a certain extent, maybe it was a bit of a risk to keep him in the team, but some situations ask an exception, and I think today was one of them.
Yep.
check on Kekas, was that just cramping? Cramp,
yeah.
Up with his bones? Didn't really get any change out from Bowen's?
No. The only moment when Bowen had a chance was when he was out, but it had nothing to do with the fullback that was in, but that was the only chance they had, and as a result of that, of course, the only chance Bowen had. Good performance, good defensive performance from him. I think he was also attacking-wise a few times a threat in the first half. Another time when it didn't lead to a shot on target, but the cutback cross from him when we overloaded the box were all moments where I think if we are in a better run of form, these moments will lead to more goals. So yeah. Good, but it also maybe tells you something. I've emphasized a lot of time on the fact that some players need to adapt to the Premier League, and I've emphasized a lot of times on the fact that some players need to adapt on 3 games a week. And that maybe is not a surprise that Milos has cramp in the end, for two reasons. He's not completely used to that. And second of all, because he puts so much effort in every single time he plays.
Also check on Alisson, he obviously clattered into Gomez in the first half. Was he just winded? Was he just winded? What was the injury?
I don't think there was an injury, otherwise you cannot keep on playing. So I think he's okay. Didn't have a lot of work to do. So yeah, I assume that he's ready to play again. But,
there was a lot of frustration in the crowd. I think maybe because of what happened yesterday at City, there's been like a bit of controversy around tactical injuries and goalkeepers. Like, do you think that's an issue, or is it not something that's in your mind?
I don't know what happened at City, so you have to tell me first.
Donnarumma went down after being like shouted at by Rooney Diaz, and he was down for a period, and there was speculation over whether it was like a tactical injury.
Oh, okay. I have in general a very clear opinion about time wasting, but I think this incident with us, we are the last team in this league, I would almost say, that does time wasting. But I've noticed in the last few weeks when we've lost and when we're a goal down, I've seen so many time wasting, so it's a bit of a, and I was constantly hoping if I would get that question, or people would notice it, and now we are winning, and I get the question about time wasting. This is so weird. Actually, the other team where I would never suspect time wasting of is City, by the way, because I've said so many times, up at the Saint-Germain game or so many games we've played, they were just a joy to watch because that was never part of the game. And I've watched recently a lot of games where time wasting was a part of it. So I would be in favor a lot about that the Premier League is going to do something about time wasting, and I have my ideas about it, but it's not smart to say anything about it after you lose a game of football. But if anyone is interested in the Premier League, I'm more than open to talk to him about my ideas.
Just quickly, last time Mo in the South Premier League game was like 2024 here, what was your thinking beyond not starting today? Is it just you wanted to have a rest?
No, I got this question, of course, already a lot. And it's every time when we play a game, when I don't play Florian Wirtz, when I don't play Alexander Isak, when I don't play Kuitike, when I don't play Mo Salah, it's about that, which is normal because they're all outstanding players. And Mo has had an unbelievable career at this club and will have a very good future at this club because he's such a special player. 4 games in 10 days with only 14 to 15 outfield players available for us. Then you have to decide once in a while to make a certain lineup, and you try to pick the best lineup for every single game. And today, with the way they set up, with a fullback that's constantly very high and a winger that's constantly inside, I thought that this could help the team. But like I said, he's been so important for this club and will be important for this club in the future. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, Arne Slot's aware that this is the first step in hopefully getting back on track, Sammy, but he always brings calmness and always looks very assured, even in these last few weeks where it's been, you would imagine, the most difficult part of his career so far. And he always seems to bring that assuredness, doesn't he?
He certainly does, you know, and I love it, and the comments he makes, you know, I always do, you know. It's been difficult for him, in recent weeks, as for us all. But he mentioned the crowd today, and I thought that was great, you know, because obviously he realised the part that they play and will play on Wednesday, need to play. And I think, as I said before, we know he mentioned the word relief, which I mentioned beforehand, and that may sound strange coming from someone from Liverpool, but again, because of the run we've been on, because of the poor results we've had, I think today they'll take stock, they'll enjoy it, but as you say, next preparation is Wednesday against the side who've just won 3-2 yesterday after being 2-0 down. So, you know, he's already mentioned Wednesday in the mirror, but now the preparation is there, enjoy with the preparation, because as you said, it's about small steps. The next step is Sunderland at home on Wednesday.
Yeah, Sammy mentioned the crowd there. There were really nice moments where you could hear Arne Slot's name ringing out from the away end. I mean, it was very much about the collective today, wasn't it? That the fans showing the team their support and the manager and that united front together.
Yeah, and even after the PSV game, I stayed till the end and I was looking at the reaction. And of course, the fans will let the players know they're not happy with the result, but there was still an element, certainly in the cop singing Liverpool. And it's like, we stick together. And even singing You'll Never Walk Alone, it's a case of nobody's enjoyed this run. The players, the manager, the fans. And you've got to stick together, because last year was an unbelievable season for us. We've had a lot of change going on. We've had a tough time. And the fans that have gone down there to support the team today at West Ham have stuck by the team and got behind them. And the players need that. The players need that. Absolutely, they need it. So nice for the manager to mention that.
I think to harp back on the point you made before, but I think another big crucial point was the new additions to the team, Sean today, you know, Yevich, Jesus gets his goal, you know, and we said, you know,
Kirk is
at the back, you know, one of his better games. So all that comes to the fruition, and what a day, what a fantastic day today.
It's all about confidence as well, isn't it? And as a manager, you know, having coached yourself, it must be one of the most hard things to work on, one of the toughest, because you can sit there in the training ground and go, right, tactically, this is how we can maybe outfox West Ham, but you can't work on confidence until you've got the results to build on.
Exactly, and all you can do, we've mentioned on many, many occasions, and I've been there, I've been in that situation, you know that, Neil, and all you can do is keep on working hard, you know, get back to basics, as we said before the game, because it's a very simple game. So, you know, I've got to be complicated by people like me at times, you know, so just go back to basics, keep it simple. And I can guarantee you, even though there's been a lot of criticism, you know, I know full well what's been going on at the AXA. They've been working tirelessly every minute they can when they're there to make sure that they turn this round, this malaise, this poor run of form that we've been on. And hopefully, as we said, today is the start of it.
Can I just say, Sammy as a coach was brilliant, but one of the best things you were was going around that dressing room when you've won and saying, well done. I remember you saying that to me, and I was thinking, I didn't even get on the pitch. And you're saying, well done to me. So it's that togetherness.
Yeah.
It's keeping everyone together. So Mo Salah didn't get on the pitch today, but he'll probably be disappointed in himself. But he's needed. And Sammy would be the coach going around saying, well done, we've won that. We're all in this together. And I thought that was something that I really learned around you. And maybe that's what happened in the dressing room today. Some players who didn't get on might be disappointed, but you're needed. You're part of this today, so well done. And I used to love Sammy doing that. Never got on the pitch.
Well done.
I think being in that collective, though, that is the only way to get through a tough time, isn't it? You have to. You can't have any divisions, because that's where things will start.
Of course, and I have to say to you, you've seen it at other clubs where there has been divisions, you know, where people aren't happy. You see people smiling when they get beat. At Liverpool Football Club, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. And that's why we're such a great club. That's why, you know, the standards are set so high. You know, and that's why, won today, move on now.
Okay, well, we have won today. Let's take a look at the rest of the results in the Premier League across the course of this weekend. We'll start with yesterday's 3 o'clock. Brentford 3, Burnley 1. All four goals in that fixture coming after the 80-minute mark. It was 0-0 until that point, would you believe? Manchester City surviving a second-half fight back from Leeds thanks to Phil Foden's winner at the Etihad, that one finishing 3-2 to City. Sunderland 3-2 against Bournemouth, a fight back there too at the Stadium of Light. Sunderland 2, of course, as we'll speak about, Liverpool faced midweek 2-0 down, came back to take the points. Everton 1, Newcastle 4. A dismal day for Everton, beaten by the Magpies, and Newcastle's opener actually the fastest Premier League goal this season, just 52 seconds on the clock when they took the lead. Tottenham 1, Fulham 2. Spurs woes at home go on. Fulham taking the points there. Earlier today, it was Palace 1, Manchester United 2. Jean-Philippe Mateta's penalty, giving Palace the lead, but Joshua Zirkzee and Mason Mount's goals gave United victory in the end. A couple of games took place at the same time as our one today. Aston Villa 1, Wolves 0. Kamara with the only goal of that game. And Forest 0, Brighton 2. Goals late in the first and second halves of that game, sealing an away win for the Seagulls. The big one down at Stamford Bridge has just kicked off. At the moment, still 0-0 between Chelsea and Arsenal. So what does that mean for the Premier League table then? Well, it certainly looks a lot better this evening than it did a few hours ago. The Reds back up to the top half, 21 points, but importantly, they are within one win of those top four positions. And a quick look at the bottom of the Premier League table, where Liverpool, of course, started the day. It's tight at the bottom for a number of teams, apart from Wolves, of course, who are pretty much cut adrift. A lot of work to get themselves out of danger. Did you see enough from West Ham today, despite the defeat, that you think that they will probably get themselves out of that, Sammy?
Not really. I didn't see. I mean, we mentioned before that he'd had a good run, 7 out of 9 points in the last three games. I didn't really see that today, but that's for them to worry about, Beck.
It is.
You know, that's for them to worry about, as I said here. And again, we have to give ourselves credit, we have to give our team credit, because we didn't allow them to implement their game on their game plan on us. So I'd rather concentrate on us. Our game plan was, you know, implemented perfectly, and long may that continue.
Well, let's concentrate on us before we hear from Joe Gomez, who's on his way in a couple of minutes' time. But just in terms of the top, very, very congested, as we say, and who knows what that could look like, you know, when it is so tight. Put together a few back-to-back wins and it could be very different, Miles.
Yeah, exactly that. City got away with it yesterday with a late goal. Leeds caused them problems. They haven't been full flow. There's only really been Arsenal this season where you'd say they've been really consistent. So you look at the top four places and think it's wide open. You look at ourselves, City and Arsenal. Chelsea, I think, will be a side that can get in there as well. But Villa have had a real pick-me-up after a slow start to the season, certainly at home. They look a real strong outfit at home. They got another win today, albeit expected, against Wolves. I'm looking at some of the teams there in the table, though, and thinking they're not going to be there come the end of the season. I'm looking at, I know that our next opponent, Sunderland, but I don't think they'll be in the top six. Manchester United, I don't think they'll be top six. Who else is in there? Who else is up there? All the teams, can get the table back up to remind me. Do you know what, there's that many Crystal Palace.
Yes.
I feel for Palace because they played on Thursday night and they played well at Strasbourg. Should have won the game. They missed some sitters. They're playing less than 72 hours later. You're thinking, how are the Premier League? How are they not helping these teams in Europe? And United get a win there, but it's a good time to have played Palace. Less than 72 hours later, so they're a little bit fortunate there. So I'm looking at them teams and thinking, it's there for us. Brighton, again, you think that they're a tough side to play, but consistently with them dropping points. I don't like the fact that we are talking about sort of having to be in the top four, but maybe it is one of those sort of seasons where, after all the changes that have gone on, it might be too hard to close that gap to Arsenal. Look at that, 13 games played. Still a long, long way to go.
That's the reality of the Premier League, though, isn't it? You know, and that's why I think we should never get carried away. You know, people talking about crisis, and it was in as much as the fact that we've been on such a uncharted territory with the amount of defeats. But just shows you how quickly it can change. And again, we spoke about it before. And to answer your question, yet they can go on a run. Yet they can. It's been done before, 1981, 82. We mentioned it. You know, so you can go on a run. But it's all about the consistency and the confidence which comes from wins.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Federico Chiesa.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Have a boss Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
You never walk alone.
Okay, I promised you Joe Gomez. Here we go. He is speaking with Mark Benstead.
Joe, very well done. What do you think was the key to this afternoon's result?
obviously I think the quality of the team is never going to just dissipate and not be there. I think there was definitely emphasis on trying to have a solid foundation and just trying to keep a clean sheet, defensively being sound, and then we know we have so much quality going forward that things will happen, the boys will get chances and they can take them. So yeah, but I think we have to take the win and appreciate it. Obviously it's been a tough time, so it's not about disregarding it, but it's also about just knowing it's one of many and hopefully just a bounce board for us to crack on.
It felt like it was a little bit more pragmatic at times, maybe not quite as expansive. Was that something you'd spoke about, just to be a little bit more conservative today and try and keep that clean sheet first and foremost?
Yeah, I think definitely. Obviously we want to play a style of football where it's combinations and certain patterns of play, but at the same time that can sometimes leave us a bit open. And yeah, no, it's obviously a balance, and we're also away from home. Every game in the Premier League is tough, we've obviously felt that, and yeah, it's just hopefully a foundation for us to build off.
You've been part of this group longer than anyone else. You've seen the highs, the lows. How challenging has the last month or so been compared to other dips that have been during your spell at the club?
Yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough. Everyone obviously takes it differently. For the boys who've just come, it probably feels different to how I've seen it. Obviously, there's a massive expectation at this club, and you gotta feel the weight of the shirt and do your best for the badge, and we know that. We've been just as disappointed as the fans, and the main thing is we're all in it together and we can feel that. We can feel their support, and yeah, the boys feel it, and it's a balance of trying to not let it overwhelm us and take over us, and hopefully today can take us in the right direction.
What role do you play in these moments as one of the experienced, wise old heads now, even when you're not necessarily in the team, albeit you were back in today?
Yeah, I think it's trying to keep a positive energy, trying to influence the boys in the right way, setting an example on a training pitch, being positive, just keeping the mood, trying to keep an overall balance on amongst the boys, speaking to the younger lads and just saying, like, keep going. Sometimes it's a small positive comment that can just lift them and keep them in a good place. Just know that I'm here for them. All of us are here for you. We're all supporting each other, and we're in this together. We're a squad, and these moments are when we come through them, will only make us stronger and build resilience. So, yeah, we all do what we can.
Just finally, like, nearly a year since your last Premier League start, how much did you enjoy being back in today, and how do you feel in terms of the games coming up and being available for those?
Yeah, obviously it means a lot for me. Last time I was here, where I got my first injury, and yeah, but I do everything I can to stay available and try and help the squad. That's the main thing, and main thing is just us sticking together. It's a tough schedule now, and back to back, and just got to go again, and we'll do that.
Well done today.
Thank you.
It's nice to have a Joe Gomez interview on post-match. As Mark said there, almost a year. It is 11 months, Mel, since his last Premier League start. I mean, as we spoke about before, brings a lot of calmness and assuredness to this Liverpool team. But I suppose that the hope is he just is able to keep himself in as good enough condition to play a part over the next few months.
Brilliant, wasn't it, to hear from Joe Gomez there? Like you say, we don't hear from him enough. His last start was West Ham away just after Christmas last season in the Premier League. I actually had to Google his age. He's 28. It feels like he's older,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It
feels
like he's older.
He's been at the club 10 years. He has seen all kinds of change. And he mentioned the fact that he's just been positive around. I think Mark started it by saying you're the longest serving again. Yeah. It's you forget how long he has been around the football club, the group of players. So, yeah, it was quite reassuring to listen to him there. It's a case of, yes, it's been difficult, and he knows, but everyone's been positive knowing that it will turn. And it feels like today was a significant day because we've got the result. He mentioned your word there, clean sheet, that the fact that they've got a clean sheet, they're absolutely made up. And that's the basis then for the next game. And the big thing for him will be, can he go again? How many games can he play without needing to have a little breather? Listen, he's had some big injuries in his career, some really tough, horrible injuries. And sometimes as a player, the workload is a case of week to week, you can't manage those games midweek, and I don't know where he's at with that, and I hope he is okay to continue.
I hope he is.
Because he played really well today.
And the good thing he mentioned as well, Beck, said the influence he has is a positivity. in and around the, you know, the, not only the dressing room but the training ground. And it's great to hear he hasn't been involved as much as he's liked, whether it be through injuries or whatever. But as you said, for the older ones, the older members in there, it's about being positive in and around the facility, which is great.
Yeah, celebrated, as you say, his 10-year anniversary of the club back in June. Well, I'm sure he will at some point. I mean, as you say, he's maybe not the loudest voice in the dressing room, but certainly one of the most respected in there, Sammy.
You don't need to be loud, I don't think. You know. And as you said, different players have different ways of going about and affecting things, and it affects different players in different ways. And he's obviously very quiet spoken, but you know, when he's there, you see his calmness, his assuredness, and I feel much better after listening to him as well after that, after the performance and after listening
we
to him.
We all feel soothed. Yeah,
yeah, I do.
I think
the way you said calm and influence, and excellent.
Well, we'll see if he plays a part midweek. Let's just have a look at the midweek fixtures. It's a full calendar in the Premier League this midweek. Some games on Tuesday, some games on Wednesday. Of course, the one that we are concerned with is on Wednesday night at 8:15 against Sunderland, who, I think it's fair to say, Mels, have been the surprise package of the Premier League this season. Mm. Their first visit to Anfield since November, what year, Tester?
2016. 17?
It is 2016. Have you cheated? I feel like you maybe he just knows his stuff. He knows his stuff. 2016, yeah, but obviously yesterday, fight back from 2-0 down to win 3-2 over Bournemouth. Phenomenal record at home so far this season. Haven't travelled quite as well away. What do you think about this one?
I think the Premier League needs a team promoted from the Championship to stay up. I think the last couple of seasons we've seen the three promoted go back down, and you look at the league table now, two of the promoted teams are in it. And Sunderland have been a real breath of fresh air. I mean, I've been to Sunderland many times over the years, and they still get 40,000 there. They're still absolutely fanatical. They went down to League One. They've got themselves going again. I have to say, I was surprised with how much change they had in the summer. They brought a lot of players in, but a lot of quality that settled very quickly. I think they're a physical side. They're an aggressive side. They're a side which will be horrible to go to, Stadium of Light. If this game was away on Wednesday, I'd be thinking, God, that's a really tough game. Really tough game. Away, they haven't travelled as well. And they'll point to the win at Chelsea, and that was a great win.
I was just going to mention that.
But they've been beaten by the likes of Burnley, Fulham, Man United away. They don't score many goals away from home. And I think the home form will be what will keep them in the Premier League. But they haven't travelled as well. But they'll be on a massive high, because they were 2-0 down yesterday, and they ended up winning the game 3-2. And Bournemouth will feel hard done by, because the penalty was soft that they conceded, and they had chances. They hit the bar. Probably shouldn't have lost the game, Bournemouth, but they did. And Sunderland will be full of confidence coming into this game at Anfield.
Questions for the boss over how he plays this one, because as you say, the balance looks good today. So a change is still afoot midweek, Sammy. What would you do?
I wouldn't know, to be honest with you. I'd be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I mentioned before balance. I've mentioned on many, many occasions here, I'm quite conservative in my changes, you know. What will play a big part, obviously, is sports science. You know, even today when you took Isak off, I think he half mentioned it there, you know, Arnold, that he thought about leaving him on a little bit longer. But for me, I wouldn't want too many changes.
OK, thanks, guys. It has been a pleasure. That is us. A massive thanks to Sammy and to Neil for their company. That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again on Wednesday night, back at Anfield with more analysis and interviews as Liverpool take on Sunderland in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.